Hello and welcome back to Our American Queen. I'm Emily.
And I'm Erin.
And this week we thought it would be fun to do a little bit of a catch-up, giving our thoughts on the Grammy Awards. And then also, we haven't talked about this yet, but we want to give our opinion on the Ginny and Georgia situation that happened a few weeks ago, where Taylor did that tweet that caused quite an uproar, a little bit of controversy, and it basically perfectly fits into this podcast, so we definitely wanted to touch on that. So we'll do like one half about the Grammys, and then we'll do a part about the tweet.
Yeah, so let's jump right into it.
Let's not waste any time. Let's get into those Grammy Awards.
The Grammys were on Sunday, and we watched the entire thing.
Yes, we did.
But we're mostly, obviously, going to focus on Taylor's part of the Grammys. So I guess, do we want to start by talking about her performance?
Let's just give our overall thoughts about the awards first, I think.
Okay, like the show or the actual winners?
Yeah, because let's just kind of like set the mood about the way that we were feeling. So me personally, I think you could relate to this too. We were nervous the whole time because Taylor wasn't winning anything. But I personally really liked that because it went to basically like every artist that people would be rooting for. And it was very split up. Whereas last year, Billie Eilish kind of swept and she took everything.
Yeah.
But I feel like this time, the fans of all these artists were happy because they all took something.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So that ended up being good, but throughout the whole thing, I was like, wait, why is Taylor not winning? She's just sitting there. She came to this award show. Why is she not winning anything?
Yeah. I would say overall, I really liked the way it was set up. I thought it was more, I saw a lot of people describing it as intimate, which I agree with. And just the way that they had it set up where everyone was watching each other's performances was kind of nice. And I think it was very heavy on the performance aspect of it and less so about the awards, which is nice. And we were comparing it to other award shows like the Oscars or the Emmys or something where it's all just awards, but the Grammys are nice because everyone who's there can actually perform and it kind of breaks up the show in a nice way. So overall, I liked it, and I enjoyed watching.
Taylor was nominated for 4 awards, was it, right? In the big categories.
Yeah, but I think it was 6 overall.
So we'll just say, obviously, Taylor won Album of the Year for Folklore.
Mm-hmm.
So happy. We both screamed. I think Erin actually cried, which is rare for her because she doesn't cry too much. But yes, she did cry.
I think I was just feeling emotional that day, and I did shed a few tears about it, which is unlike me.
Yeah, so Erin cried. I was like screaming. I was more happy about, well, Erin was happy too, but I was more like actually excited. Yeah, and then she went up and Erin Dessner said a few words and then Taylor said a few words and it was just like a great moment.
I was a little disappointed by her speech, I have to say. Like, it was a really big moment for her. It was her 3rd Album of the Year and she's the first woman to ever do that. And I guess I kind of understand why she didn't want to put a big emphasis on that because it's sort of immodest, I guess, to get up there and be like, I'm the first woman to ever do this. But I don't know. I guess her speech was nice, but I just was expecting more. Like, I thought she would say something more profound, but she really just thanked people.
I think you definitely have to tread a line, especially as a female artist, to not be, like, too, like, this is my 3rd album of the year. And we saw that with Beyoncé, too, which was incredible. I think she won the most amount of Grammys ever, right?
No.
Or for a woman?
I don't know. The way they worded it was really confusing. I'm not really sure what record she broke, but she broke some kind of record, which is good.
Yeah, so, like, her reaction was similar to Taylor, just, like, very humble and, like, grateful.
Well, I was more talking about, like, we watched Taylor's speech for 1989, and, you know, if you've seen that, she says...
But she got a lot of backlash for that, so...
But I don't even mean something like that where she said people will try to stop you or stop your success, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, her speech was fine. Let's just leave it at that. I just thought she would say something more profound, not even about herself, but about the album, like, talk about Folklore, like, this was made in quarantine, and, like, it brought joy to so many people during a really difficult time. So to have this be a Warriors album of the year means so much. I'm so glad that this album resonated. Like, something like that. But it's okay. Her speech was fine. And I know a lot of people were saying it related to Coney Island and also Miss Americana, the documentary, because in Coney Island, obviously, she says, "When I got up to the podium, I forgot to say your name." And she thanked Joe in her speech. And then in Miss Americana, there's the one scene where she talks about when she won Grammys for 1989, she looked around but felt like there was no one there to share it with. So that was kind of a special moment for her to have someone to share it with. And that was nice.
Well, she seems so close with, like, all her collaborators on Folklore, yeah, too. Like, they like, quarantined together, and it was really cute. They called themselves the Folklorians.
Yeah, and I saw people also were making a contrast between when she won for Folklore and when she won for 1989. How, like, for Folklore, she had her collaborators up there, and you could tell that they're all very close. Whereas with 1989, it was just, like,
they're all other than
Jack Antonoff, I guess, it was just like a bunch of guys in suits, and there seemed to be kind of like a disconnect between her and them. Maybe there wasn't. That's just what it appeared to be. But anyway, so yeah, I thought that was a really nice moment. We loved Taylor's dress. Very pretty.
Yeah. I really liked her red carpet look. At first, I was kind of like, it took a minute to digest, but then once I did, it definitely clicked for the era, and I liked it because it seemed kind of Lover / Folklore.
Yeah, I definitely got that. It seemed like a mashup between Lover, Folklore, and Evermore, but I feel like Folklore and Evermore are the same aesthetic. But I thought it was really cute, and I liked it.
I really
liked
the shoes, too.
Mm-hmm, the shoes were my favorite
part. Then she had the matching mask. It was really cool.
She looked very nice, and her performance was a mashup of Cardigan, August, and Willow. Now, our prediction going into the night was that she was going to sing the trilogy. So she's going to do Cardigan, August, and Betty. So we were 2/3 of the way there. I was not expecting Willow.
Spoiler alert for our Evermore ranking episode that we're going to be doing very soon. But Willow is my favorite song of Evermore, so I was thrilled to hear it live.
Technically, she performed all of Folklore in the Long Pond sessions, but really the only actual performance we had gotten of Folklore was Betty at the American Country Music Awards, right?
Something like that.
The ACM, I think that's what it stands for. So that was the only performance we had gotten, and that one was obviously very stripped down. It was just her and her guitar and then the harmonica player, who for some reason was shrouded in darkness the whole time. So this was really fun to hear, like, full production, a full performance for these songs. And my personal favorite of the three was Willow, because she sort of switched it up and made it more like rock.
Yeah.
I just loved the Willow. I mean, I liked the other two also, but Willow was my favorite part of that performance. And her set, the stage, was so fitting with the aesthetic of Folklore, and I loved her dress again for that. And it was cool to see Aaron Dessner and Jack Antonoff with her. They just looked like they were having a lot of fun, and it was really good.
Yeah, I liked the beginning of the performance when she started. The camera was like on her face only. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of when she did the VMAs in 2019, I think it was. I think it started off like that, too, where she was on the chaise lounge singing You Need to Calm Down, and it, like, started on her face. And then I like how it panned out, and she was on the top of that cabin. I think I showed you this. I showed you the house that was in the Lover music video. Like,
yeah.
People are saying that it might have represented the roof of it, which was crazy.
That could be. And then we had a little mini, I guess it was supposed to be the Long Pond studio, but to me, I thought the set of her performance looked more like that photo she posted before she announced the Long Pond session, when she was, like, sitting on that couch. And
it,
like,
did.
Which I guess they said that was probably also Aaron Dessner's studio, but anyway, it was supposed to be a mini Long Pond, and I thought it was really, I just loved the whole thing. I loved it so much. It exceeded my expectations, I have to say.
And then it had, the cabin had a bunch of stuff in the background too, which I'm sure is some kind of Easter egg. It had like little trinkets and mm-hmm. things like that. I really liked the part where August ended.
Yeah.
And then it went right into Willow. Like, I was screaming. I was so excited.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to when she was kind of, like, leaning against the cabin. That was really, she just looked so casual. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm performing.
The and girls. Then it was definitely intentional when she said, they count me out time and time again. Mm-hmm. And she said, I come back stronger than 90s trend. Like, chills, full body chills. Especially performing that at the Grammys, where she's been kind of snubbed since, like, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I think my guess would be that that's pretty much the reason she sang Willow, is because she wanted to sing those lines. Otherwise, I think she probably would have done Betty. And I'm happy she didn't do Betty, because I have nothing against the song, but I did want her to sing something different. So I give it a 10 out of 10.
Do we want to, because this kind of is pertinent to our podcast, do we want to talk about the Harry Styles and Taylor of it all?
Sure.
I was very impressed by the way that whole thing was framed by the media. It seemed like they weren't being annoying about it. It was very much like, oh, like, these seem to be cool. They're talking. I'm sure they're friends kind of vibe, where I feel like in the past, I'm like, are Taylor and Harry going to get back together? Like, they're talking. That must mean something.
Yeah, I would say since they're both not single, I guess in a relationship. I don't know what the opposite of single is right now. But anyway, they're both in relationships. That's probably why the headlines were just like friendly exes or whatever. I wonder what it would have been if they were both single.
Oh, it would have been so different.
But, yeah, I thought that was funny, and I loved that the actual official Grammys, like, YouTube page was the one who put the video up. Like, whoever was on the camera when they saw them interacting, that was so funny. They must have been like, oh, this is a money grab right here. We're going to get so many views with this.
But when I saw that video, I was just so over the moon excited, because I just love both of them individually so much. Just to like see them interact after all these years was really interesting.
Yeah. And thrilling. Who knows? A lot of people were saying maybe she was asking Harry to perhaps collaborate with her, maybe on the 1989 record. I don't think that's happening, but maybe in the future they'll do a song together. Who knows?
Also, just to mention, the dress that Taylor wore to perform, a lot of people are saying that it might be a reference to Dancing with Our Hands Tied, mm-hmm. where she says, deep blue, but you painted me golden. And I could totally see that that's something Taylor would do.
Yeah. And also, she twirled around in the performance similar, like, her dress was very twirly, and the way she held the hem and kind of, like, twirled was very similar to the cover of Speak Now, yeah. And people were wondering if that was some kind of Easter egg. It was reminiscent to me of when Taylor accepted an award at the, was it the American Music Awards? I think so. I think, yeah, it was. I don't know what award it was, but she sent in a video, and before she spoke, she had her back to the camera and showed her braid, mm-hmm. and then she turned around, and then obviously, once Evermore was announced, people realized that that was an Easter egg for Evermore. So I feel like it's possible that when she twirled, it could have been an Easter egg, or she could have just been enjoying her twirly dress and having fun with that. But obviously, we're Taylor fans. She does this to us. We must dissect everything for some kind of a clue, and it's her own fault, honestly.
Do we want to talk about any other performances we enjoy? Just, like, list them out.
Yeah. I think Taylor was my favorite, I would say.
Of course.
I'm kind of biased, but I would say my second favorite was probably the Silk Sonic.
Oh, yeah.
Performance with Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak.
Yeah, right? I think that's right.
That one was really good. I liked that a lot. And then the other Bruno Mars performance, the tribute performance, was really good. I'm excited for the new album that he has with his new duo. I think that'll be good.
I think the women really showed up for this night. Dua Lipa's performance was so good. I think it should have opened. Yeah. I think either her or Megan Thee Stallion should have opened.
Harry's performance, his opening performance, was a little low energy.
It was a little underwhelming. Yeah.
I mean, he looked good, but I don't know about... I don't know. It wasn't an opening performance to me. It was just, yeah, it wasn't the energy I was expecting.
Yep.
But let's see, who else?
Megan Thee Stallion was so good.
Mm-hmm. I liked this for the, her, like, solo performance. I liked the staging for that. I thought it was really cool. It reminded me, yeah, it did give me Broadway vibes and Moulin Rouge vibes in particular. Who else?
I think those were, like, our top.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yep. Really good performances, especially considering the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I thought it was pretty well done. I didn't read too much about how it was going to be set up. I know you said it was, like, different stages, and the whole thing, the way it was explained, confused me. So I didn't have any expectations going in. And I didn't really know what they were going to do and how it was going to be set up. But I thought the way it was set up was good. And it moved quickly, which I liked.
Yeah, it definitely moved really quickly.
So, yeah.
Taylor had a really good night. She gave a really great performance. And her red carpet look was really great. And she took home her third album of the year. And mm-hmm. she's the first woman to win 3 album of the year awards.
So, very exciting. Yet another... record broken.
Yeah, another record broken.
And yeah, we enjoyed it. I definitely, it was good to see her perform and good to see her there because I feel like she's been pretty quiet.
Yeah.
Since Evermore released. Well, I guess she did Fearless. I don't know. She hasn't been that quiet, but we haven't really like seen her
in, quote, in person.
In person, like live.
Her in little rooms with a white background.
Yeah, so it was good. And it was a fun night. We enjoyed it.
So do we think, what are Evermore's chances of Album of the Year?
Oh, I don't think.
Do you think it'll be nominated? It definitely won't win, but do you think it'll be nominated?
I don't even think it'll be nominated. Yeah. Maybe Willow will get a nomination for something, but I doubt it'll be nominated. And I'm still not even, like, I still think there's a chance TS10 will release before the next Grammys. So, and she has her re-recordings, which I don't even know if they're eligible to be nominated.
I think they read that they are.
I doubt that they would be, but we'll see.
Let's transition into our second topic, which happened, like, 2 weeks ago, I believe, now.
I think it was more than that.
Okay, well, let me pull up the tweets. Okay, so this happened on March 1st, mm-hmm. and it was, like, in the morning. And Taylor, I think a few days prior, there was this whole, like, respect Taylor Swift trending on Twitter because of this Ginny and Georgia quote. That's this new Netflix show. And the quote is, "What do you care? You go through men faster than Taylor Swift."
Mm-hmm.
And then, I'm sure everybody's heard this tweet, but I'll read it again. Taylor said, "Hey, Ginny and Georgia, 2010 called and it wants its lazy, deeply sexist joke back. How about we stop degrading hardworking women by defining this horse shit as funny? Also, at Netflix, after Miss Americana, this outfit doesn't look cute on you. Broken heart emoji. Happy Women's History Month, I guess."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Emily read that to me. I hadn't seen it myself. She was like, "Oh my gosh,
the Taylor. Morning it came out, not now."
Yeah, yeah. Taylor tweeted this, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And the second I heard it, I was like, oof, that's not gonna go over well.
Like, the second I read it, I was like, wow, this is like what we talk about on our podcast about all the stuff that Taylor has been put through by the media regarding her dating life and them kind of stripping her of her career accomplishments and defining her by the men in her life, which is what that quote did from the show. And I'm very torn on this because on one hand, I believe that Taylor should have the right, obviously, to say whatever she wants to say, and she shouldn't have to sugarcoat what she wants to say in order to, like, appease people and make them more comfortable. But there are definitely some issues with it
mm-hmm.
as well, which we'll get into.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, this is exactly what we talk about on this mm-hmm. podcast. The idea that, oh my gosh, Taylor has so many boyfriends, so many ex-boyfriends. All she does is write songs about them. All she does is drag their names through the mud. Ugh, she's so annoying. I hate her, blah, blah, blah. So that joke really played right into just the stereotypical things people will say about her. And it's clear that she was very triggered by it, which, you know, I would be too if my whole career that's just followed me around, like, oh, you have so many ex-boyfriends, all you do is write songs about them. So for them to put that joke in the show still now, especially, it's never really funny.
It's never funny.
Cute. It's never, like, whatever, but even now, after Taylor's been in a long-term relationship, I feel like it's in even more.
Out of touch, not out of date.
Yeah, it's like an even worse taste to say that now. Not that it would be in good taste to say it before Taylor started dating Joe, but it's even worse because she's been in a really long-term relationship. So it's just an obnoxious joke, and I don't know what the writers were thinking of that show, including it, because it's just not funny. You know?
I believe, because I think I listened to an interview about the show, and it's, like, all women, like, diversity, like, it's very female-run, so I don't know why they would do that, but...
Yeah, maybe, I mean, obviously they thought it was funny, I guess, I don't know, and I think Taylor had every right to be upset about it, and to share that she was upset about it, but there are some aspects of it, like we said, that maybe weren't as positive. And the first thing is that Taylor's fans, the Swifties.
No, they weren't the Swifties, really.
Okay, well, like, whatever. Like, yeah. Unhinged people decided to attack the lead actress
of
the show.
Her disgusting, racist.
Yeah, messages. And send her very hateful, disgusting messages. So that was probably the worst part of it. And I have kind of, like, mixed opinions on it. Obviously, that's not okay, but a lot of people were saying, oh my gosh, Taylor is disgusting. This is so racist of her to target this young woman and have her fans send her racist messages. And I would say to that, like, obviously, that's not okay and that's unacceptable. However, I would say every single big star like Taylor, when you're at that level, you're inevitably going to have people who are fans of you who are bad people.
Well, even if she tweeted, like, please don't send hate, like, that would have been nice for her to say don't send mm-hmm. hate. I think her name is Antonia
Jeff.
Antonia Gentry, I believe her name is. I mean, it would have been nice if Taylor said, like, whatever, like, she did a great job in this show, like, I'm not talking about her, but I don't think she needed to do that
mm-hmm.
because even if she did, those same unhinged people would have gone and sent her racist messages because that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and it's even kind of like, I don't know, I sort of, it brought up when the BTS fans were upset that they didn't win a Grammy and people were talking about how horrible their fan base is, and I don't know anything about them, I really don't. About the fan base. I'm not on Twitter. I don't know anything about this. But my immediate thought was, well, I don't think you should blame the band because they have unhinged fans. Like, I guess the most they can really do is say, please don't harass people. Please don't be terrible people. But how much of a
difference...
Those
same people are still going to do it.
Yeah, how much of a difference is that really going to make? I don't blame BTS for their crazy fans. I don't blame Taylor for her... racist fans, I guess. I don't even know if they're fans of her, but who go and who target these people, obviously that's unacceptable. And like you said, if Taylor had issued another tweet and said, you know, those who are targeting this actress, please back off, I guess that would have been a nice statement for her to make.
But I don't think
yeah,
it
we don't know how much
they
of a difference that would have made.
Another problem people had with the tweet that I saw was that at the end Taylor said, like, Happy Women's History Month, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Which I kind of agree with. It does kind of remind me of, like, 1989 feminism, where it's like, so you're not going to say anything about Black History Month, but on the first day of Women's History Month, you're going to use that as, like, I don't know. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's, like, the criticism it got, because people were like, wow, so she didn't say anything about Black History Month, but the first chance she gets, she talks about Women's History Month. That line, in my opinion, could have totally been tossed out, mm-hmm. and it would have been better.
It was a little cringy, I'm not gonna lie. I would say, yeah, that part of it sort of speaks to a bigger criticism people just have with Taylor in general, which is that she doesn't really speak out and issue statements, for lack of a better term, too often about things that don't affect her directly. And I would say that that is accurate, and that, you know, she's really not, even though she says she's now political, she really doesn't get involved very often. And we've talked about this on our podcast, like, she endorsed Joe Biden for president, okay? She didn't get involved in the primaries at all. She didn't really do anything that I know of to really, like, campaign in quotes for Joe Biden. She just endorsed him. That was pretty much it. And then the only issues she's really ever talked about, as far as we know, would be just LGBTQ issues, which we talked about in our last podcast episode.
Yeah, and she tweeted when the Equality Act was passed, she, like, was like, oh, great. Mm-hmm.
So I think people just want to see from her, just her talking about things that don't necessarily directly affect her. I think if she had been consistently posting about just various things, issuing statements on, I don't know, like, for example, with the attack on the Asian American community with the murders of the 8 people in Atlanta, Taylor hasn't, as of recording this podcast, I don't know if she will, but right now she hasn't said anything about that. And I think if she had been speaking out about various issues like that, maybe this tweet would have gone over better. But it does seem like she kind of breaks her silence more often than not on issues that do affect her and not issues that have nothing to do with her.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But at the same time, I think it is a two-edged sword where mm-hmm. if she did post, she would get hate every single time. And that's exhausting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you just kind of have to weigh what you want to do over the hate, I guess. I know over the summer she posted a little bit about BLM, but then she got a lot of backlash with people saying that she didn't do enough. And, yeah, it's mm-hmm. like, I feel like she can't really win no matter what she does, and she has to know that. So it probably is a little exhausting, but,
yeah.
If it's worth it to you to use your voice and speak out, you would probably do that over caring about what people say.
Mm-hmm. And I would just say she's the one who said, I'm going to be involved now. I'm going to get into politics and I'm going to use my voice and my platform. If she hadn't said that, for me personally, I wouldn't have an expectation for her to speak up on, you know, I keep saying various issues, but that's, I guess, the best way to word it. But she's the one who said, I'm political now, for lack of a better phrase. So I do feel like she very much plays it safe, which, again, is her right to do. But then she opens herself up for criticism when she tweets things like this that, well, okay, you're tweeting about this because you got offended and it upset you, but why aren't you tweeting about, et cetera,
X, Y, various,
Z. Yes, X, Y, Z. So I understand that criticism, I do.
Yeah. I don't know, it would be interesting to get into her head to see why, because she barely tweets. Mm-hmm. She barely ever says anything, so it would be interesting to get inside of her head and see, what made her do this and speak out about this specific thing, because the first time I saw the tweet, I was like, really? She's going to speak about this? It's kind of like low-hanging fruit. I would just kind of rise above it, but...
Yeah. I would say just because there's such a long history of that being a joke and that being a punchline, oh, Taylor Swift has so many boyfriends, and I don't know. I feel like at some point everybody would reach a breaking point with that where it's just like, seriously, again, you're really going to make that joke again. Like, I can't take it. I'm going to tweet and call them out. I think I'm going to call them out. So anyway, I think she, like I said, I think she had every right to tweet that. And like you were saying, I don't even want to necessarily get into the content of it because that's how she feels, you know? That's her, she's showing that it upset her. Those were her thoughts about it. So I'm not going to be like, she shouldn't have said, this is horse shit. She shouldn't have said this. Like, those were her thoughts. That's how she felt about it. So,
I mean, you have to also put into the context of Miss Americana for her was like bearing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about, there's a huge section about her relationships, and she's said in the past that it's a trauma for her. She doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever she hears about it or sees an article about her relationships, it all comes back and it's traumatizing for her. And she said she never wants to see another young female artist go through that. So when you have a documentary like Miss Americana, where she dives into that whole thing and speaks very honestly about it, it would really kind of be a stab in the back to mm-hmm. see another Netflix show say that exact thing that you said you were traumatized by.
Yeah. And that's, like, my biggest takeaway is why the writers of that show decided to include it. Because it's just, I guess,
like, I don't know, again, who thought that would be a good idea in 20, like, I guess it probably was written, like, 2020.
I don't know. Like, it's not funny. I don't know why they thought it was funny, but they did. And Taylor did not appreciate it. I joked that, when Taylor tweeted that, maybe it was like a couple nights before, or might have even been the night before. I really don't know the exact timing, but Tina Fey and Amy Poehler hosted the Golden Globes.
I think it was the night before.
I think it was the night before too. So I joked that Taylor got triggered by them hosting the Golden Globes because however many years prior, they hosted the Golden Globes, right? It was that same mm-hmm. show. And we all know they made a joke about Taylor having, like, someone
going after Michael J. Fox's yeah, son.
They're like, Taylor, oh,
stay away from his son.
You better watch out for Taylor. She's going to write a song about him.
Literally disgusting.
So I joked about that, but I almost wonder, like, could that be the reason? Like, because then we all know Taylor tweeted after that. And criticized.
She said it in an article, I think, but yeah.
Okay, well, either way, she made a statement about them and how disgusted she was by that joke. And then maybe she was reminded of that, seeing them host the Golden Globes again, and the next morning decided, I'm going to tweet about this.
Well, reading about the tweet, like, I saw a lot of people said it reminded them of when she said, like, women who mm-hmm. don't support women. What was it? There's a special place
yeah,
in now.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, so, yeah, but
you know.
This tweet basically plays into every single criticism of Taylor you can throw out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but obviously it was worth it to her to tweet that because she definitely knew she would get a lot of shit for it.
Yeah, and like I said, the second I saw it, I was like, oof, this is gonna get a lot of backlash. But again, that was something she wanted to say. That was something she wanted to put out there, and she did. And she got a lot of support from it, too, from her fan base, obviously, so.
I feel like a lot of female artists, if they tweeted something like that, people would just be like, oh, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason with Taylor, it always has to be, like, a big thing, and
yeah,
I mean, it has to get a lot of criticism, which she's, like, one of the biggest celebrities out there, so it's bound to get some kind of criticism, but it is interesting that she always seems to get way more than other people.
I think it's because a lot of people view her as very calculated. Mm-hmm. And when she's usually pretty low-key. Like, she's out of the public eye for the most part, except if she's doing... Now, the publicity she gets is based on her actual work as an artist, which is obviously the way she wants it, but I think because people view her as very calculated, they know when she puts out a statement, it has been very calculated, if you will, and they feel like they can criticize that more somehow. I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh my gosh. Well,
like, I think we all know, just knowing Taylor and having familiarity with her and her career, like, I would be shocked if that tweet was, like, spur of the moment. She woke up one day and she wrote it and then tweeted it. Like, I think we all know that's not how she works. That's not how her PR works. And I think because of that, maybe people think there's more room to criticize it. I'm trying to think of someone, like, at a similar level to Taylor who sort of tweets, like, more freely.
Halsey.
Okay.
She tweeted about, she got a really bad review of her album. And I forget what public, I think it was Pitchfork, and she tweeted at them, like, very similar to what Taylor did. But she got a lot of hate for that, so maybe my point isn't even valid.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there were definitely valid criticisms to make about it. However, I understand why Taylor got fed up.
I will say, this actually is a pretty good comparison. When Candace Owens did the whole Harry Styles thing about his cover of Vogue, and then he did that Instagram post that was like, bring back Manly Men, he got nothing but love. I will say that.
I mean, except from the Candace Owens
fans. We don't care about them. but yeah, that's kind of similar.
Yeah, I guess it did. The first thing that came to my mind when Taylor tweeted that was her... I think it was in that, I can't think of the chance, CBS maybe, her CBS interview, when she said a woman is not allowed to, or like a woman can't just react, it's only an overreaction. And that very much reminded me of the situation. Everybody just kind of immediately jumped, oh my gosh, this is such an overreaction of her. Like, it's just one silly little joke. Why is she making it into such a big deal? It's just a little joke. Brush it off. And that's kind of why I feel like I don't want to criticize the content as much of the tweet, because I feel like she's allowed to react in whatever way she wants to, within reason, obviously. But that did remind me of that moment. And I think it was in a CBS interview, but I'm not positive.
I think it was Sunday morning. Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah, so I think that concludes our thoughts on that. Hopefully in the future, we will get more content about Taylor being more focused on her career rather than her personal life. And I just want to give a shout out to SNL, because they did that recently in the driver's license sketch that they did, where Pete Davidson was like, oh, Taylor, or whatever. And then they were like, oh, Folklore is amazing, blah, blah, which made me really happy, because it didn't talk about her dating life at all, and it talked about her work.
Yeah, and I do think there's been a shift that I kind of can see just in, like, reading articles about Taylor. And it mostly has to do, I would think, with her being in a long-term relationship. I do think a lot of the articles written about her now do focus mostly on her music, which
Well, I think that's just Folklore, too, being so critically acclaimed.
Yeah, and I think that is a very positive development, and I hope that that continues.
Yes.
So
I think that's all that we have for this episode. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review. It'd be really appreciated to get other people to find our podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at OurAmericanQueenPod, Instagram at OurAmericanQueenPod. Yeah, we hope you have a good day, and we will see you next time. Bye.